Father, those thoughts and words which come from you, and bless them. And those thoughts and words which come not from you, but from our own vanity, will you forgive? Amen.
So the Sundays of Advent, you have been lighting the candles of the Advent wreath over there. And each of those candles represents a particular person or group of people that has brought about something new. Firstly, we remembered the patriarchs, the first fathers. Secondly, we remembered the prophets with their new message to tell. Thirdly, today, we remember John the Baptist. And next week, we shall think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God himself. Now, as a parish priest until a few years ago, I could only get the gag in once on Advent Sunday. Otherwise, by Christmas, the whole congregation would be heartily sick of my dubious impersonation. So I shan't mention fork handles at all. What haven't I mentioned? There, that's got it out of everybody's system for another week. Tomorrow, the church begins to sing the traditional Advent antiphons. Traditionally, they come before and after the Magnificat at evening prayer. And they begin, oh, oh this, oh that. And it's upon those antiphons that our opening hymn was based this morning, O come, Emmanuel. And each of those verses is based on one of those antiphons. And those of you that were gazing at the back of my vestment this morning think, oh, I haven't seen that one before, you might have noticed there's some O's in it, which represent the O's of the Advent antiphons. And one can almost hear Ronnie Barker again, can't you? O's? You've got O's? Anyway, today's candle burns for John the Baptist. And when John was baptizing people, as we heard in the gospel a few moments ago, it wasn't in that tender little way that happens in fonts nowadays. We're not talking about three handfuls of tepid water. Oh no. John's baptism was full-scale dunking, or to put it more technically, baptism by total immersion. Baptism in the river by total immersion. Quite apart from needing a convenient river, the cold snap of Sussex this morning might put off one or two candidates or their parents, and we don't always baptise by total immersion these days. That's fair enough, but the trouble with fonts is that they look too much like wash basins. And we're inclined to think of baptism simply as a washing clean. Well, you and I know that nothing very dangerous is going to happen at a wash basin. But rivers, that's a different matter. Rivers can be seriously dangerous. You can get properly out of your depth in a river. Rivers get people washed away. Rivers drown people. And that, in a manner of speaking, is what baptism is all about. If I drown a baptism candidate or two, that will be the end of them. Or will it be? Because we Christians believe that after we die, we are raised up to a new life with Jesus. So by drowning someone, we help them begin a new life in the company of Jesus. And that is what baptism is about. The end of one life and the beginning of another. The end of an old life and the beginning of something new. When we baptize little babies, they have hardly begun their lives. But so important and so much better is life with Jesus that we are ready to drown their old life already so that they can start a new one. Fortunately, we don't actually have to drown their bodies for that to happen. But baptism is the beginning of a new kind of life. It is the beginning of life lived in friendship and in conversation with Jesus. It is the beginning of life related to a new family, a new group of people, a whole new community. A community that Jesus has been building up as he refers to his disciples as his brothers. As he said to John and to Mary from the cross, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother." He was building up community, building up family. The marker point between life without Jesus and life with him is not when we die, it is when we are baptized. And it is the task of our priests today to baptize babies and adults, not to drown them, so that they can begin their new life in the company of Jesus, who makes himself present to us this morning in bread and wine. John came at the end of a long line of Old Testament prophets. He was the end of that line. But he was also announcing Jesus and what was to come. So he was the beginning as well. Sometimes we Christians need to be a bit like John the Baptist. We have to finish off something old and help something new come to birth. Sometimes what used to be good has grown old and worn out and useless and needs to go so that it can be replaced by something better. That might sound like fun, throwing away old things and getting new, particularly if wardrobe's in mind, but it can be very hard too. Looking around, I think most, if not all of you, not everybody, but most of you will know what a typewriter is. And you know what a computer is too. Imagine how difficult it is to tell somebody who has spent their life making typewriters that they aren't needed any longer because we're going to get computers. Saying goodbye to the past can be hard and sad, but it's the only way to move on to what is new. John the Baptist helped people to say goodbye to their past and to begin something new. And that isn't just his job or mine, it can be yours too, to put an end to what is old and worn out and broken and begin something that is newer and better. John the Baptist challenges people to put an end to their old ways. He tells people who store up spare clothes to change their habits and give them to those who have none. I'm the only man in my house, and I have 3 daughters and a wife with wardrobe upon wardrobe of nothing to wear. Don't store up clothes. Give them to those who have none. He tells those who have spare food to share it with the hungry. And how empty are your cupboards this close to Christmas? He tells tax collectors to stop their usual practice of adding a bit extra to people's tax bills to line their own pockets. He tells soldiers not to use their fighting skills as a threat to get money out of people, but to be satisfied with their wages. John tells people to put an end to the past and whatever is holding them back from following Jesus and to begin a new life according to new standards. And Advent calls us to do the same today, to leave old ways behind and to live a new life, a life that will bear scrutiny when Jesus returns to us and when we must give an account of what we have done with the time, with the energy, and with the abilities that he has given to each and every one of us here today. Amen.